and offer a word of encouragement as we enter this last stretch of Lent. For those of you who the sacrifices that you undertook on Ash Wednesday and the excitement of that has fizzled out, I want to encourage you to begin anew. With these last couple weeks of Lent, that if the prayer, the fasting, the giving that you undertook at the beginning, that if it's no longer there, to begin anew and to not focus on, okay, how you've been doing or whether you've failed, but to refocus back on Christ, to allow Him to complete the good work that He's begun in you. All we're doing in everything we do in Lent is we're allowing Jesus to do His work within us, to heal us, to transform us. And so to take the focus off of myself and what I'm doing, how I'm doing, what I'm not doing, and to focus it again on Christ and what He's doing, the work He's doing and the work He desires to do within you in this time of Lent. These Gospels in these last weeks leading into Holy Week, they're fully immersive ones. They're long Gospels. And a priest is tempted, I'm sure often, when you have them, to choose the chopped up option. They take a couple verses and that chops out some and takes a couple verses. Toward what end, though? So you can hear more of my words and less of the Word of God? No, we're given these fully immersive Gospels in these weeks leading up to Holy Week that we might become saturated with them. Last week it was the woman at the well, Jesus as the living water. Here it's Jesus giving this man new eyes, and next week He'll raise Lazarus from the dead. And so I want to offer just three simple words on this gospel today, a word of wonder, a word of conviction, and a word of hope. First, a word of simple wonder. That as we immerse ourselves into this gospel, the wonder of Jesus healing this man. There are things as you go through your week that dazzle you. You might come across a video that someone sends you, and it's amazing, it's wonderful. And so what do? You probably show someone else, you send it to them. But we have all these things that can fill us with a wonder, but we come across the works and the wonders of God, and they can leave us unmoved. There's something that's not right about that. But to be filled with the wonder of what Jesus is doing here, He is taking this man and He is creating new eyes in him. He spits into the dirt and He takes it and He forms clay out of it. It's a direct reference back to Genesis. Jesus is recreating His eyes. How did God create? He took the dirt of the earth. Adam means from the earth, and the clay, and He formed it. Jesus is recreating this man's eyes. He takes and He smudges it in his eyes. It's a weird way to heal. If He was just fixing something, but He's not just fixing his bad eyes. He's recreating new eyeballs for him. He's giving him new eyes. And He's doing all of this on the Sabbath. In Genesis, God created in 6 days, and on the Sabbath He rested. But the Sabbath is meant as a day of recreation. It's the day in which Jesus will rise from the dead and recreate everything in the old creation that has fallen. This is what He desires to do. And the work He wants to do in your life is a work of recreation. Sunday is a day of recreation, recreation. we come and we hear the word of God. We receive God so that the way that we see God might be recreated, because we can get all sorts of weird images of who God is in our mind. But if we don't have the right vision of who God truly is, who he revealed himself to us to be, everything else is messed up. And then we're told on the Sabbath, and this is the true Sabbath that Jesus is establishing, that that is also a day that we focus on our family, on those we love, take our eyes away from our work and that manual slave labor we have to do the rest of the days, and refocus it on the things which reveal to us when we love and when we give ourselves in love, it reveals to us the true image of who we are. We come to receive God, and in light of him, and in light of loving others, that we see more clearly who we are. We believe all sorts of lies and false images of who we are. But to be recreated and to see rightly, to see your life, when you look at your life, everyone, what do you see? Oftentimes we don't see our lives as Jesus does. We see it through our fallen eyes. We become very harsh with ourselves. Jesus wants us to see our lives as he does, through his eyes, and so he recreates them. And to see the world, not through our own eyes, but through his and what he's doing in that. So this wonder of Jesus recreating so we can see all these things anew. The second is a word of conviction. We hear this gospel, and it's one that's meant to convict us to the heart. It's meant to cut us to the heart. That what he does here is Jesus heals this man's vision, and he also exposes blindness. Doesn't he? He exposes the blindness of the Pharisees. And that when I hear this gospel, it's meant as well to expose my own blindness. That yes, I am the one, I am the man who was born blind. That's each one of us. We're born blind. We're born into sin, original sin. And it's through the waters of baptism that you have been recreated and you have renewed vision and eyes. But yet, there's concupiscence. There's still this darkness within me. There can remain this blindness in my life. And this gospel is meant to convict me to be able to recognize and expose those areas of blindness. Socrates, you know him, right? The great philosopher. He was known as the wisest man in all of ancient Greece. Why? Because he was the one who knew that he doesn't know. He knew he was ignorant. He knew the truth of everything he didn't know. Jesus reveals to us our sin in our lives and that we need healing from that sin. After the blind man comes back to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, and he says he does believe and he worships him, Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. For us, this time of Lent is one in which we're meant to recognize more and more, and we recognize it, everyone, through our failures often. Yes, has Lent been just this big sort of, okay, it's not been great, I've sort of failed on. Good. If you recognize that and you see it, and you say, man, I'm kind of a mess. Or the opposite way in which you're like, oh, I'm just killing it in Lent, I'm just doing everything, and look at how much I'm growing. Yeah, that pride is growing, that pride is growing. And we're meant to see that blindness. But we're meant to see how blind we are so that in encountering Jesus, we might actually truly see. It's those who don't see their blindness, who look at their life and think, yeah, I'm okay. I'm not perfect, but I'm okay. How blind they are. Don't be blind like the Pharisees, who are convinced of their self-righteousness. But Jesus desires us to keep coming to him and pointing to these areas of blindness so he can shine his light there. And the closer I come to Jesus, the closer I come to the light, the more I want him to take away these areas where there are flaws, where there are imperfections, where there are sin. The closer I come to the light, the more I recognize those. And Jesus, please take them away so that I might be filled entirely with your light. The most powerful way this is done, everyone, is in the sacrament of confession. The church asks us at a minimum to go once a year and to do that. But to go even every couple months, the more we come to that light, the more we're able to recognize our blindness and see God and see ourselves with true eyes, with recreated eyes. And so to convict us. Lastly, a word of hope. And yes, all these things can exist at once. Wonder, conviction, and hope. That this gospel is one that gives hope. That even after my eyes have been restored and I'm desiring that light in my life and I walk with that light alive in me, I'm still walking in the valley of darkness. In the dark valley of this world. Just because I'm no longer blind, everyone, doesn't mean there's not darkness still. That there might not be the blindness and the darkness within me, but there's still the darkness within this world. And as I walk through the valley of darkness, the great evil, the real serious problem, is not that there's darkness. Because everyone has stretches in their life, some of us very long stretches, in which we're filled with all sorts of discouragement, in which your life is filled with suffering. We have stretches in which we're asked to walk in the midst of that darkness, but that darkness is not the serious problem. The serious problem is when I believe that I'm walking through it alone, in isolation. Rather than seeing the truth that Jesus is with me as my shepherd, and that though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. With your rod and your staff, you give me courage. You give me courage that I don't believe the lies that I'm alone in the midst of it. But instead I believe, as this blind man proclaimed, that Jesus is the Son of Man. Close your eyes if you would. And in darkness, hear the word of the Lord, not in blindness, but in the light of faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.